This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Listening to Flop Culture. This is a podcast all about flops, the good, the bad, and the in-between. I'm your host, Fionnuala. I hope you're really well, wherever you are this Thursday in the world. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode on moody covers of pop songs with Charlie Harding from Switched On Pop. Thank you for entertaining my specificities and weird pop music brain. I appreciate that. If you haven't listened, go back and listen, because even just doing the social clips this week, I got a lot of joy from listening back to the conversation. A busy week, as always, in the world of pop culture. So before we get to flops, let's talk news. I do want to preface this news story with a couple of trigger warnings about sexual assault, toxic workplace practices, workplace abuse, because I am going to be talking about Dan Schneider's statement in the wake of a new docuseries, quite on set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. This is a four-part docuseries that looks at claims about toxic workplaces for child actors and crews on Nickelodeon series that Dan Schneider created and ran. If that's not for you, there are timestamps in the description if you want to skip on ahead straight to the interview. I completely appreciate that. But this has been a huge, huge, massive story that I think is going to continue to unfold as the weeks go on. If you're looking for a more in-depth kind of blind item, you know, an acknowledgement that these are all allegations, but like industry whispers and industry stories, if you're looking for that kind of rundown, if I can recommend, and I'll link them in the show notes, but Beyond the Blinds did a really good episode on Dan Schneider, as did The Unpopular Opinion. And yeah, they're good listening if you need to kind of get up to speed. If this story is coming to you fresh and you're like, what the hell, I don't know anything about this. Dan Schneider, massive Nickelodeon head honcho. As I said, he created and ran several Nickelodeon series. He has come out now against this docuseries, quite on set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. He put up this, quite frankly, bizarre from a PR perspective. He sat down for this YouTube interview with a former Nickelodeon star themselves, Boogie. Boogie played Tebow on iCarly. And they are talking about some of the allegations leveled in the docuseries, their own experiences working on set. It feels very rehearsed. The comments are off, which I'm like, that's interesting, isn't it? The comments are off. It's a 19-minute video. You can find it on YouTube. if you want to watch it. So he said, watching over the past two nights is very difficult. Me facing my past behaviours, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology. When I watched the show, I could see the hurt in some people's eyes and it made me feel awful and regretful and sorry. I wish I could go back, especially to those earlier years of my career, and bring the growth and experience that I have now and just do a better job and never, ever feel like it was okay to be an asshole to anyone, ever. He has been, these rumours and allegations have been prevalent for years. Years in the industry, if we're going to talk at like the most surface level, least heinous accusations, you know, as I said, him running toxic workplaces, tolerating toxic conditions, tormenting and humiliating cast and crew on his sets. He has had ample opportunities to speak out on this. It was heavily implied, if you've read Jeanette McCurdy's book, or even if you're familiar with her book, I'm Glad My Mom Died, she talks about her experience of working on iCarly. She started opposite Miranda Cosgrove on iCarly and her experience on that set and about working with someone who she refers to as the creator. It's like heavily believed that it's Dan Schneider, but she doesn't name him. She's talked about being offered hush money to not talk about her experience on the set and about this person, whatever, and she didn't take it, which kind of leads people to believe that lots of other people did. I think it's interesting because as far as I'm aware, there's at least another part of the docuseries to come, if not two more, but I'm pretty sure definitely one episode more. So I'm like, it's interesting that you're dropping this now, especially because they had released, Dan had released an initial statement after the first episode. And this was specifically around claims about sexualized content within these kids' shows, making child actors do kind of certain things and act out certain things and say certain things that could be perceived as crossing a line. I've already mentioned the toxic onset behaviour. In the initial statement from earlier this week, his rep said that everything that happened on the shows Dan ran was carefully scrutinised by dozens of involved adults and was approved by the network. But now he's speaking like directly to these allegations, and some of them he's saying he knew nothing about. And I suppose specifically we may talk about the specific scenario with Drake Bell. Drake Bell, former star of Drake and Josh, The Amanda Show, named himself as the John Doe victim in Brian Peck's sexual assault case. Brian Peck worked as a dialect coach on a lot of Nickelodeon projects. In this video, Schneider is saying that he did not hire him. Bell talks about his experience with Brian Peck in this series. Peck was convicted of sexually assaulting a child actor in 2004. Nobody knew it was Drake Bell at that time. He's coming out to say it now. Lots of actors and people wrote letters of support for Brian Peck, including, disappointingly, James Marsden, which is, I don't know. I should say as well, there seems to be a lot of confusion online because people don't understand that people can just simply have the same second names. Brian Peck is of no relation to Josh Peck, who was obviously Drake's co-star on the aforementioned Drake and Josh. Dan talks about this specific scenario and that he knew about it, but again, he didn't hire him. Apparently he supported his mom throughout the case. When Drake and I talked and he told me about what happened, I was more devastated by that than anything that ever happened to me in my career thus far. And I told him, I'm here for you. He kind of starts tearing up, talking about Drake's mom coming to him, asking for help with the trial. She came to me at the time and she said, Dan, I'm not good with words like you are. And would you help me with my speech for the judge? I said, of course, I did. And Peck ended up going to prison and serving his time. Goes on to describe this as the darkest part of his career. And then he kind of does this thing where, like, he kind of deflects back to Disney because Peck ended up getting a short-term contract with the Disney Channel, it's believed. He goes on and he says, and here's the kicker that I really don't get. After Peck got out of prison and was a registered sex offender, he was hired on a Disney Channel show. I don't understand that. So Peck went on to voice the role of a mirror on three episodes of The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, which was on the Disney Channel. You've a lot of sources coming out saying that he completed the role in a voiceover studio so he wouldn't have been interacting with any of the cast and crew members, including minors, obviously. The show was predominantly starred minors. And apparently Hollywood Reporter is saying that after Disney found out about Peck's conviction, which, I mean, I'm pretty sure you should have checked that beforehand. But anyway, Disney fired him immediately and replaced his voice and on-screen credits on the three episodes of the series he worked on. To go back to Dan, he kind of recounts his times at Nickelodeon. And again, he like agrees that some of the jokes and some of the material that he was asking predominantly young female actors to act out and, you know, script inappropriate scripts to perform, it was predominantly these young female actors. He does agree that some of the jokes crossed a line. He said, all those jokes, the show covered over the past two nights, every one of those jokes was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny and only funny. Let's cut those jokes out of the show just like I would have done 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I want my shows to be popular. I want everyone to like the shows. The more people who like the shows, the happier I am. So if there's anything that needs to be cut because it's upsetting somebody, let's cut it. There are definitely things that I would do differently. And he says, you know, about having licensed therapists on set to oversee child actors in the filming process. The main thing that I would change is how I treat people and everyone. I definitely at times didn't give people the best of me. I didn't show enough patience. I could be cocky and definitely overambitious and sometimes just straight up rude and obnoxious. And I'm sorry that I ever was. Lots of allegations and claims that he would ask, I mean, essentially force staff members to give him massages on set. He acknowledges that. He says, it was wrong. It was wrong that I ever put anyone in that position. It was wrong to do. I'd never do it today. Why were you doing it at the time? Anyway, boundaries. I'm embarrassed that I did it then. I apologize to anybody that I ever put in that situation. Also talks about the fact that, you know, writers came out and said they were uncomfortable on set. He said that should never have happened. No writer should ever feel uncomfortable in any writer's room ever. Period. The end. No excuses. But what frustrates me is that he talks in kind of his closing, whatever, he says, I can tell you why it hurts really bad for me. I was green, I was scared, I was excited. It meant the world to me that I was getting these opportunities. And I went in and I got lucky because my first couple experiences were fantastic. And the fact that I didn't pay it forward to every employee that walked through my door, it hurts my heart because I should have, and I wish I could go back and fix that. I take issue with the sentence about him being green because at this point, you already have, I mean, several successful shows under your belt. You're not green, you're untouchable in there in terms of what you are for children's television and what you've created and what you've brought forward. And I think to use that as an excuse that you like didn't know any better is quite simply not true. And I find that quite hard to stomach. I do wonder, to go back to my original point, why he's coming out now, like what is in the next part that he's like, I will, okay, the other stuff not great, but I really need to get ahead of this because it's damning. And it just makes me very sad for all the staff involved who had to put up with abuse leveled at them when they just wanted to come in and do their job. The child actors, I will say again, I'm not sure child stars should be a thing. You only need to look at the likes of Amanda Bynes and the other girl from Zoe 101 who's been advocating for child actors. Alexa Nicholas, she's a good one to look into. Again, if you're not hugely familiar with the story, she has always said she never felt comfortable on set working with Dan Schneider. And it just makes me think, you know, we were talking about Ariana Grande this week on the Patreon, specifically with regards to the new album, patreon.com/flopculture, if you want to check that out. She obviously had this massive jumping off point from Nickelodeon. You wonder what all these people know or maybe not know, what they potentially had to go through, who took money, who didn't. It's just very sad. And I should, to go back to Drake Bell, because I know this is something that's come up. He also addressed his own sentencing a couple of years ago in 2021. He pled guilty to a felony charge of attempted child endangerment and a misdemeanor charge of disseminating matter harmful to juveniles related to inappropriate text messages he sent to a teenage girl in 2017. He does address that. You know, he says, I took responsibility for that. You know, I did what was asked of me, but the media grabbed a hold of so much misinformation and absolutely destroyed me. And I started to spin out of control. If I continue down that path, that could very likely be the end of my story. I was at rock bottom, and so I checked into a treatment and I got to go through a lot of trauma therapy and a lot of grief therapy and be surrounded by people who for the first time in a long time wanted to just see me get better. He's also previously been accused of physical and verbal abuse by an ex-girlfriend in 2020. No mention of them in a documentary. He's always denied those allegations. But I suppose just looking at how, I don't know, the cycle of abuse continues, it's all very dark. And then you even have, I know there were some allegations or some claims that, you know, you have stars of Ned's Declassified School Survivor Guide, another big Nickelodeon show during the noughties. Yeah, they were on a TikTok live. So this is, you know, like the three lead stars, Devin Werkheiser, Lindsay Shaw and Daniel Curtis Lee, they were on TikTok live and they were all kind of joking about the Nickelodeon abuse allegations. And they said, our set was not like that. No, it's fucking awful. This Drake Bell shit, that's crazy to hear. That is fucked. And that never came out, which is really wild, really wild. And then there was someone on TikTok on the live that said, so y'all were in on it. And they're all kind of like laughing. And workers are saying, I'm not talking about this anymore. Not talking about this anymore. Guys, we can't joke like this. Jesus, sometimes humor helps us move through things. Drake did not appreciate that and tweeted as such. Again, this goes back to my point. Children should not be famous. Children should not be famous. I think there's a difference between letting your child act and letting them be famous. And having the appropriate barriers and protections in place for them. Very sad. Very sad. If you've watched the documentary, the docuseries, let me know what you thought. It's helloflopculture@gmail.com or we're on Instagram, flopculture_pod. Okay. We need to bring it back. We need to keep it light. We need to get back to what's important. Flops. There was a discussion on Popcast recently, which is another one of my favourite podcasts about pop music and the industry at large. And they were talking about what it takes to become a main pop girl. And they surmised that to be a main pop girl, you have to have three circles in your Venn diagram converging. You have to be able to market yourself really well, number one. Number two, you have to have public narrative to drum up intrigue. And of course, number three, you have to have the bangers to back it up. In the late noughties into the early 2010s, Cheryl was the main pop girl in the UK, despite all of the odds. She was not the best singer from Girls Aloud. She had legal issues early on that could have tanked her career. But nevertheless, she persisted. We got our military jackets out and hated Ashley Cole as a collective. Cheryl Mania was a thing in the UK and Ireland, at least. In January of 2010, she was Googled more in the UK than Beyonce, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. Let that sink in. Her first British Vogue cover gave them their best ever February figures for sales at that time. 7 million people watched her on Piers Morgan's Life Stories. Other celebrities were obsessed with her. Rihanna used to tweet about her saying, can Cheryl Cole not be so yummy? Selena Gomez said Cheryl Cole's new album is amazing. What's up, UK? Y'all digging it with me? Adele is on record as being obsessed with Cheryl. She was the people's princess in so many ways. And then in what feels like a blink of an eye, Cheryl Mania was over. A late 2010s relaunch saw her face with intense scrutiny concerning her physical appearance and a criticism of a raunchy X Factor performance, which saw the comeback single fail to take off. Joining me to discuss Cheryl is makeup artist and It Girl, Kia Macken. Enjoy! Kian Macken, you are so welcome to Flop Culture. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm so excited.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm very excited to get into our fave girly. I think at one point on social media this week you said better than Beyonce, so we will be getting into that. Who have you
chosen? Was great for the algorithm though, because sure, everyone was like, I don't even dare compare her to Beyonce. I was like, please.
Were you trolling,
but I am not even being funny. I genuinely would prefer to go to Cheryl than Beyonce. I would.
Have you ever seen her live?
Cheryl?
Yeah.
No, I haven't
seen
Beyonce.
She played here twice.
on a tour for the album where she did Call My Name. I need to find someone who went to that tour because I'd really love to know.
I don't know where I was that I didn't go, but also I was probably about 10.
Probably. Cheryl in the Three Arena, like.
Yeah. Imagine. In the Three Arena.
Well, I'd say it was.
Yeah, well, where else would she be, really?
Because she was so big. Don't do that to poor Cheryl. Yeah. What's your earliest memory of her? Like, were you an X Factor girly? Were you a Girls Aloud girly? Yeah, or were you just solo Cheryl, this is my bag?
No, like, I'm not trying to be like, I'm a child, but I feel like I knew of Cheryl, and then I was like, oh, she was in the girl band, to get me?
That's
so criminal.
Keane, I usually don't invite people who are younger than me onto this podcast, so just understand this.
No, but then when I like looked into like that, I remember I used to have this like, not like a... Now that's what you call music, but like some sort of DVD that had like loads of random music videos on it.
Mm.
And there was, I remember then, like, what was that song called again? Love Machine was on it. And then yeah. I was like, that's your one. But also, like, I feel like I should have knew that already, but whatever. I was like 10, you guys.
Yeah, that's fair. You're very, very young.
Which I was big on the X Factor now.
Okay, so until... you would have been watching when she was a job. Were you watching or was it just a case of, because obviously at this point she is like, the Taylor Swift of the UK, and I actually don't say
of
that.
Of the world.
Of the world. Like, she might as well have been, because she's on the X Factor. She's like blowing up on the X Factor because she's like a nice girl. She's way nicer than all the rest of them. She's like this nice.
Stunning. The blow dry.
Oh, the blow dry. This thing. She's like kind of a bit of a fashionista. It's so funny. Her Wikipedia page is like, Cheryl Cole is considered a bit of a fashionista. I was what? Like, oh my God, I can't believe this sentence. You know what I mean? Like, she's, but genuinely is like considered
she was the it girl.
A bit of a style icon. It girl. The original it girl.
Yeah.
So. Was it a thing of, was it the it girl thing that drew you to her, or was it the tunes?
No, I was just loving a bit of Cheryl, and then I just, all the fucking tunes, they're just generic pop songs. Like, that's like my favourite music, and I don't care.
That's mainly. A vibe.
Like, I just love, like, slight difference in the verse, same, like, repetitive chorus. Grant, do you know? And not a lot of meaning.
It was at the time when that kind
Wait,
of music...
I'm actually worried she's going to watch this eventually and then she'll see me Disney music. I love
it. Yeah, no, she is.
Do you know?
She is. You've chosen her for flop culture, like the clues in the name. It was at a time in music where that kind of was peak as well. Like, it was pop, but it's... But no, I will say that first album and the first couple of singles, it's so like... Because obviously she'd split from Ashley Cole at the time and everyone was like, oh my God, Cheryl. Because the media and society love a woman that has been cheated on initially. Yeah. They are obsessed. So it was like, oh my God, yes, Cheryl, talk to us through the music, fight for this love. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think at that point they were maybe reconciling whatever and then obviously they split up again, obviously. But people loved that. People ate it up.
Yeah, like it's wild when you think about how much like she was like, followed by like the media and stuff, and whereas now we're just like, do you know, like if you're actually deep, I know it's like obviously not that deep, but I'm always just like, it's so random how someone can just be so like watched and then just not like, do you know?
Because so like obviously she was in Girls Aloud, and I think she was kind of the breakout star in terms of celebrity, because obviously she's with Ashley Cole, she becomes a wag, she gets the X Factor thing.
She's like basically one of the original wags as well. Yeah. I know Victoria Beckham as well, but you know.
But this was like, and this was the time of like media scrutiny, they're at whatever World Cup that is. Mm. I think it was, she was with Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, did you not see the pictures of the two of them there?
The two of them, the huge glasses clapping, like the tank tops.
Yeah.
Oh, what a time. So she's kind of the... She's kind of the breakout star in that regards, but I don't know how people would have felt about her pursuing music. And then she like did pursue music and she did so well. I think people forget that like...
I don't know. I'm not even being funny though. Like, I don't know how she out of all them girls became... Well, obviously it's her personality as well that obviously got her fair, but like, do you know, like...
How did
she get the lucky fucking ticket out of it?
But I think it was...
Sorry, am I allowed to swear? No,
yes,
I didn't
absolutely.
Okay.
It was definitely a thing of timing when you consider it.
Yeah.
And all those factors again, like she's in a very high profile relationship. She gets the X Factor. I think Simon Cowell kind of saw himself as a mentor for her. Mm. And really, we talked about this on the Talisa episode where like Simon Cowell...
Bring her back as well.
listen to that episode because we talked about it. He really wanted to be seen as like making these women, I feel.
Mm.
And like he really wanted to be seen as like... And to be fair, I think he was kind of key to Cheryl's success in the sense that like he took the chance on her
slash
being
her downfall as well.
Slash her downfall as well, which we like with the US X Factor, I should say. But like to go back to the music, she was the first British female solo artist to have 5 number one singles in the UK, and she held that record until Jess Glynn overtook her in 2018. Jess if anyone's Glynn. Not watching the video on YouTube, Cian's face has just turned to an absolute look of horror.
But also, why does everyone hate Jess Glynn again? Because I can't remember.
But that was a public image thing as well, because she's a bit rude in public and would like not kind of not turn up to gigs because she was hungover.
I can't name five of her songs. That is so real though, that she went to go to gigs because she's hungover. She's like, not today.
You're like, I kind of relate to her.
Yeah.
Like
me cancelling my makeup appointments. I'm sorry, I'm sick.
Fight for This Love went to number one in the UK and Ireland. Her second single, Three Words, Will I Am, a bop or
banger.
Flop? Banger.
Banger.
Banger. I was with my other friend Cian recently and he said, is it too late for Cheryl to retroactively get a Grammy for that song? And I said, yeah, but she should. It's just very kind of like unexpected, kind of weird. I remember the video where it's like the two of them and then there's like statues dancing. Slay.
But also, the two of them, I obviously like they like met like jeans together and stuff, but I'm not mad on him.
Okay, well, this is the thing.
And when they're like, together, I'd be like, nah.
Will.i.am is kind of considered a bit of a villain in pop music, that he's, anytime he jumps on a verse or something, he makes a song worse.
Yeah.
Rihanna Photograph. There's so many other examples. Yeah, yeah. And also him at Britney and like him putting out music that I'm not even sure she's aware of.
Yes.
Mind Your Business. Does Britney know about Mind Your Business? I don't think so. I will say, I think he's a good collaborator for her. Do you not think?
No, I think that they were good together and like they did like work well together and stuff, but something about him gives me the fear. I'm like, she needs to do better.
Suspicious.
But also, it's over now. So, well, she could come back.
Oh, do you actually think so?
No.
Okay.
But obviously, I wish to God she would.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't want to go and see Girls Loud. Like, I don't want.
You're going to anger all of the old gay men that listen to this podcast, let me tell you right now.
But like, I just want Cheryl, do you know?
Okay.
One of my friends was like, sure, she'll be performing her own songs as well as that. I was like, obviously not.
No, but okay.
Nadine isn't going to be
Can
doing
you put that
like,
friend on blast right now, literally. Because that's absolutely not happening. It's not.
Like, hardly.
Now, I was talking about it with, again, my friend Cian, where I was like, I would love if it was like, there was a mega mix in the middle where they all kind of did their own thing. So like, Cheryl did Parachute and then it goes into Nicola Roberts, Drum, but it's not going to happen. Yeah. Sorry to that friend who thinks that. Like, she had all this success. She goes on Messy Little Raindrops, his 2010 album. I'm obsessed with this album.
Me too. I had that album as well and Three Words as well. Like my mom was like, there you are. And I'm like, thanks so much.
Number one in the UK, Promise This, obviously number one, bilingual banger, Alouette.
I think that's my favourite Cheryl song.
It's, and I remember again, this was like, I think the video leaked or something, and was this still Bebo time? I'm not sure, it was definitely Facebook time anyway, and people setting the leaked video as their flashbox, and like, I remember on YouTube it had loads of bad reviews, or like it was really, had loads of thumbs down, and I don't know if it was like the singing or the video or whatever. Slay though, sorry. Let's be real. Let's actually be real about this now.
The performance that girl did on the X Factor, that song, it's too real. It's so good.
It's so, because that I'm was the thing
like
that, as well.
Just look at this. And they're like, I don't care. And I'm like, well, if you had taste, you'd care.
So good. So good. That now, the rest of the singles, I think there's one other single off that album, The Flood. Banger, kind of contemporary mid, but you're not into that. You're
not
shaking your head.
Mad on it. But Promise This is so good. So like, do you know?
Banger, only went to number 18. We do, UK.
Promise This was number one though, wasn't it?
Promise This was number one, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. But a good album, got mixed reviews. I had some other kind of notes on some of the songs from that. Hummingbirds, It's Giving Dawn Chorus, because she's naming every single bird on the entire planet. She's like, you flew away and you were chasing the sparrow. I was like, babe, I love it. But also Derek Mooney. Amnesia on this album is one of the best songs of all time. And if one of I'm actually not being hyperbolic. If one of the other pop girlies had Amnesia, it is because it is this like guitar kind of thing in the background and it's this absolute banger of a chorus about being like you're with someone and that you're pillow talking and you're with and he's talking about like all the things you could be together and then the next day he's like ignoring her, basically ghosting.
Hate when that happens.
We love a relatable queen though. Yeah. Sharing that with
she's
us,
she's like, it happens me too, you guys.
It happens she's me so too real. Guys, I think this is the real album about the Ashley Gold breakup. There's also a song on this written by Khalees. It's called Waiting and it samples 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
Oh my God.
Also kind of a banger.
I don't remember that song.
It's very, very good. I would recommend going back. But okay, again, so she's like, She's still like peaking. She's still, because this is, I think we also have to underline how successful X Factor was. Like this was, for people who don't remember X Factor or didn't watch it at the time, like it was.
But even if you didn't watch it, you'd still know
because
what was going on. It was so pushed.
It was like, so intrinsic to the culture. Even at this point, I think we were kind of seeing a turnaround in how successful the contestants were. But like people watched. It was, if you performed on, as part of the live performances, like you were nearly guaranteed to go number one. Like you had Rihanna doing it, loads of other people. At one point, again towards the end, you had people. She does one of her last performances on X Factor, and that song doesn't go number one. We'll talk
about
that.
It was nearly like
on.
To launch the single as well, nearly like, you know.
Or like launch a single, launch an album, launch campaign.
So even with Little Mix as well, they met them, like, do, like the song wasn't even released with Shout Out to Mex, and then they like performed on X Factor, and then they were like, grand, you can buy that there now.
Yeah. So this was like.
You'll have to have me on for a Little Mix episode though.
Oh, really?
Well. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. We were talking about this the other day to go on a completely different tangent. Could you ever see them, all of them getting back together, including Jesse?
Maybe if when they're like older, maybe.
Yeah. I would
say. But hopefully not. They bought her house.
Did they?
Yeah, they bought it like 3 or 4 million, I think. So even at the last, this is such a side note, but even at their last concert, like all the edits and stuff on the stage or whatever, everything was gone.
Okay, because I was saying to my friend, I was like, "Oh, I do actually think they could if they threw them all in a room, loads of therapy. I think they
loads
could,
of money,
loads of money, more importantly." Oh, okay, but now
I wouldn't want that,
that
though.
Oh, say, so you just want the three of them?
Yeah,
but they were all, they were really good together. I think with the vocals, no?
Yeah, Cheryl is better though.
Cheryl, Cheryl Quinn. Do you remember where you were when she dropped "Call My Name"? The Calvin Harris collab.
Yeah, like I was literally like, I think I was like 13 or 14, and I remember I had it as my ringtone on my phone as well.
Fair. Oh, what a song! Like
I didn't know it was a Calvin Harris song.
Yeah,
until
no, he's
recently.
He's not noted on it, like, but he's a producer. I'd be 90% sure. I'm going to check. Yeah, because
I seen a TikTok of it, and he said that he did it all, and then they were begging him to give the song to Cheryl.
Produced by Calvin Harris, written by Calvin Harris, yeah.
Yeah, they were begging him to give it to Cheryl, and he was like, grand, if you can get me Florence the Machine, I think, to do a song with him.
Okay, and then
so that was like
they
the deal.
Sweet Nothing. Gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Do you think that's fair trade, though?
A fair trade. Well, yeah, when you consider the success that he's had with that Florence song, and they did Sweet Nothing, and he did the remix of Say My Name.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think her peak was Call My Name.
Call My Name. Because I remember when that video dropped as well, and she's wearing like the pattern leggings and she's dancing and she's that god awful, it's so of the time, but again, peak style. It was like that tropical print blazer.
Yeah, rotten.
Rotten.
Like her style at that time, I was watching like old clips and I was like, mare.
It was rotten.
Who was dressed there? She looked like an owl went on holidays. Literally. And not in a sexy way.
Ben. But it was so, I remember even off it, to speak to how influential she was, like the outfits were rotten, but I remember then it was like,
but sure, you wouldn't bat an eyelid.
But everyone was like, steal Cheryl's style, here's four other ugly pan print blazers that you can wear. I was like, I remember I bought baggy, like baggy like shiny kind of hip hop pattern pants. Was I wearing them Cork City Cane? No, I wasn't.
Frankie from Santa's hair. So
yeah, of course I did.
You're too impressionable.
I was so impressionable. Maybe it's my issue. Maybe it's actually not how influential Cheryl is.
You just wanted to be an it girl like Cheryl.
I did.
You can't blame yourself.
Truly, I did. The Call My Name was from an album called A Million Lights, and this was 2012. So this was 2 years after Messy Little Raindrops as well. So I will say, like, Three Words comes out 2009. And again, we're talking peak. She's very quick to get with the next one, which I think was correct. That was Messy Little Raindrops.
Mm-hmm.
A Million Lights is 2012 with Call My Name as the lead single, right? And Call My Name, it does really well. Smash it. Brilliant. But this is the first album where you can see things kind of starting to turn for her, because it only goes to number two, Mare. And it's her first not to sell over 100,000 copies in the first week. So you're kind of starting to see the tide turn here. Why do you think that is when Call My Name was such a smash hit?
I feel like, but that, in saying that, like, sure, everything else in the album is a bit like...
Yeah, A Million Lights, not a great album, I will say. Now, Under the Sun, second single.
Yeah. Banger. Oh no, I like that song.
Show you tell me everything. And another great music video. And she's like styled to the nines. She's wearing like a pencil skirt. She's her hair done up in a beehive. And she's like straddling a car bonnet. I think about that video and that song, I'd say once a month.
Really? Maybe is that your Roman Empire, do you think?
Is it my Roman Empire? No, but I do think about it very frequently.
What is your Roman Empire?
What is my Roman Empire? It's probably just pop culture.
Why isn't
in general.
It Cheryl?
It probably is Cheryl to a degree, like.
Yeah.
And it's probably, the reason why I wanted to do this and why I wanted to ask you, because I know you're posting about her a lot, and again, it's another theory that my friend has, is it's that, it's like ageism in music and misogyny in music, and especially with the UK industry, I feel like female artists get to a certain age or they do a certain amount of music and then it's like, okay, bye, we don't want you anymore, you can't be successful. Like,
whereas like, with men, it's like, they're so sexy.
Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Whereas like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Harry Styles will be into the 30s now and we'll still be like, wah, and he'll still be getting all the attention. My friend is going to do a full episode on it, so I don't want to spoil who else he's kind of chosen from the UK scene. But you know, like, I feel like it's going to happen to Dua Lipa. I'm kind of scared for her.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, true, actually. Love her, though. She's copying Cheryl, though, with the red hair.
But I...
Cheryl was the original red hair girl. She had it for
Rihanna. Was not the original red hair girl?
Cheryl had it first.
Did Cheryl have it for the L'Oreal ads? She did, didn't she? Remember, she had that go. It was like, and I remember she had like a pink dress in the ads as well. And it was, she was such an it girl, even as I'm saying all this out loud.
But I used to work in a salon actually, and I was on reception one day, and a woman rang and was like, oh yeah, I want to book in for a Cheryl Cole blow dry. But this was like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, yeah, grand, one sec, I had to put her on pause because I thought I was going to die. I literally was laughing so much. And then I was like, I was saying to the girls, and then the girls were like, yeah, but her blow dries were slaying, to be fair. And I was like,
her blow dries were like, there are very,
full
so
head
many,
of stenos.
Full
no
head
bother.
Of stenos, yeah. But just like absolutely no acknowledgement. But she's like, I grew these all from weak, limp, lifeless. You know what I mean? They're all from my own head. But I think it was the L'Oreal spawn as well. Mm. I think that kind of buoyed it as well.
Yeah.
And she was in that for a year. I didn't actually realise how long she had the L'Oreal contract for. Yeah, so the L'Oreal contract kicked off from 2009. Again, this is peak Cheryl, started the solo career, everything else. She only finished up with them in 2018. But everyone can reference those ads, you know what I mean? And like, I remember it was that L'Oreal, this is not L'Oreal spawn, but like it's, they want to spawn, babe, the wallet's open. Holla. The range that she came out with was kind of iconic. And I remember everyone buying it because her hair looked so good. And now it's like, oh yeah, extensions. It was that white, it was like a white and red bottle. So good.
Really?
Her Elnett ads, the hairspray, and she had the beehive again. Oh, love her.
Do you remember the lashes? That's actually one thing I do remember about Girls Aloud, like the lashes.
Did she have the most popular lashes? Because we did talk about this on Bandwagons, the Girls Aloud episode.
Probably.
About who had the best-selling lashes, and I'm wondering, was it like, was it because the lashes were good, or was it just Cheryl?
I'd actually love to know. I'm going to assume it was Cheryl, obviously.
Yeah. But even when you think back to it as well, when she started American X Factor, and that image of her, which American X Factor was a bit of a flop, and I think might have been kind of the start of her demise. And I think that also
kind of the start of her demise.
Yeah, but everyone remembers that picture again of her in the longest purple trousers known to man, and she's wearing like that turquoise ruffle top. There's something orange as well. I think the belt's orange. It was like, and she has this huge, like huge volume at the root hair, and it's kind of curling at the end. That image broke the internet, I think. I remember that being ever, and I still remember being like, was that also the downfall of her in America? Was it people? Was it Americans not getting her and her style? I don't know.
I think definitely her getting fired allegedly or whatever happened with the X Factor in America definitely was starting, because, but sure, imagine if she took off in America, she'd still be on the trot, even if she wasn't singing.
Yeah, that is,
you know,
when I listen to Messy Little Raindrops, I'm like, there's a parallel universe where Cheryl is as big, has had crossover success and is as big as Ariana Grande. And I actually don't say that hypothetically.
Sure, Kim, I've been in such a Cheryl TikTok hole, and there was like a tweet of Kim K being like, I'm obsessed with Cheryl Cole.
Adele is obsessed with her. Adele ended up covering, I think it was Promise This for her live lounge. Adele has like actively spoken about how like she gets very, she was like, that she was delighted when she met Cheryl because she was the most famous person she's ever met and stuff. Hang on, I need to get the quote. Yeah, Adele is filmed revealing she was starstruck after meeting favourite person ever, Cheryl Cole, and end up star Daffy in newly resurfaced BBC Live Lounge footage from 2011. Like, she was obsessed with Cheryl.
But also, like, why do we still call her Cheryl Cole?
Because see, this was the thing, she did try and drop...
She's always going to be Cheryl Cole, really.
She technically did drop it. She went by Cheryl
for
the music.
Cheryl.
She is Cheryl. But then it was kind of awkward because she married that restaurant fella, Fernandez.
For about 3 months.
Rossini. Yeah.
He was good looking, though.
He was good looking, yeah.
Obviously he's going to be good looking.
Okay, this is the thing, right? To go back to the point of like misogyny and the kind of view of her publicly. So like, she's with Ashley. Ashley obviously cheats on her. So again, everyone's like, oh, poor wounded baby bird, Cheryl. Mm. And she just wants to be in love and she just wants to have a family, whatever. And I think she spoke about it on that Piers Morgan interview she did. You know, that life story thing
yeah,
that he does.
It's the most
watched life stories ever. And also, obviously, she was like, she got malaria at the time during X Factor. And that was like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
She dies.
Literally, yeah. Like, no, it was actually very serious.
She got like the worst form of malaria.
Yeah. But everyone's kind of looking at her being like, oh, Cheryl, we love Cheryl, girl next door. We love her. We just want the best for her, whatever. Mm. And then it's like, she has all this massive success, makes loads of money between the fashion, the spawn con, the music. And then it's kind of like, oh, but she can't get a husband. Oh, whatever. Why can't she get a husband? Whatever. You see the kind of tides start to turn. Then she starts going out with your man. They break up and it gets a bit like, okay, why can't she keep a man? Why won't she stay married to someone? You know what I mean? And then also she's just like, she's getting older. And I do think, yeah, we should talk about the X Factor USA because she was signed up to do it, to launch essentially X Factor in the US. She does it for 3 weeks, leaves. Simon Cowell is like that she was offered, she left because she was offered the UK season again for the 8th season. She actually doesn't end up doing it. That's the season that Talisa starts. But he's like, she was more comfortable in the UK, blah, 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 whatever. She ends up suing the American producers of The X Factor for 2.3 million. She ends up getting 1.8 million for the 2011 season and then gets additional damages for the second season because obviously it didn't come to be. And won a settlement for an undisclosed amount between her and the producers, Blue Orbit. But I think then it was at that point, it was like, oh, there was a real, I don't know, just this real thing of like, we build them up and then we tear them down. Because I don't know if you're, okay, so we talked about A Million Lights. There was another album after that, which is actually pretty good that I didn't really listen to, Only Human. That's the song with Crazy Stupid Love, the Tiny Tempo Collab, and I Don't Care. I actually hate those two songs. Do you like them? I hate them. I think it sounds like AI music.
Wait, what was the other song? It's
Crazy Stupid as Love's. No, 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 no.
Yeah, no, I know
na,
that song, but what did you call the other one? My brain is fried. Oh, yeah. No, I hate I Don't Care.
I hate it. Gives me
but
the
I like, I think I like Crazy Stupid Love, but I hate I Don't Care so much.
Yeah,
and
I hate it.
Hate.
And the two
love
of them went to number
made
one.
Me do it. Hate.
But that's what I'm about to talk about. Okay, so that Only Human album, I actually do think is good. There's a couple of good, Hold My Breath on that album is a collab and it's very good. A lot of the album tracks are actually better. I think she's really comfortable because she's in like an R&B zone more than a dance zone, which I think she was trying to do on A Million Lights, which doesn't really work. Love Made Me Do It, right? Love Made Me Do It is like her comeback single for 2018. And in the come up for this, she's telling The Guardian, or like she's hinting in The Guardian that if the new material underperforms, she's going to retire. It's like her first song that's, I don't want to say only streaming, but I think it was predominantly streaming. So she was kind of saying she didn't really know it was going to perform because it was the first song it released in the streaming era for her. There's intense media scrutiny. She's performing on X Factor. There's a lot of discussion around like her face and how she looks, which is like really...
She did look very different, though, to be fair.
She looked very different, but again, if Harry Styles came out with a load of filler, would we be having the same conversation? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know why I keep using Harry Styles as an example, but anyway. She performs in an X Factor, and I remember the performance was critiqued a lot because it was very sexy. Very like, and people were like, this is a family show, God forbid, whatever. Anyway, stupid argument, whatever. Love Maybe Do It peaks at number 19 in the UK. Like, that's not good, girls.
No.
To not get top 10.
Mare.
Number 32 in Ireland. The Irish people were not, we weren't coming out in.
I just hate it. It's not the song you come back with.
It's, but why don't you like it?
It's, she's not singing really. And then when she's singing, it's just like, you know, mare. No, I'm not into it. And like, sometimes then you're like, I love her so much, obviously, but like, how the fuck did she go so far?
Yeah.
How did she get so far? She's not a good singer. She's not a good singer. She never once sang live. And when she did, it was a mare for everyone involved.
She used to always deny it. There's a quote, I'm going to paraphrase, but like there's a quote of her, I think it was Fight for This Love and it was performance on The X Factor, I think, or else it was Promise This. Doesn't matter. Where there was some review of it being like that she was lip syncing, whatever. And she was like, oh, I take that as a compliment because if you think my live vocals are as good as lip syncing, like, well, brilliant. And it was like, no, babe. Are we fibbing a bit now?
She
never
sang live.
No, I will say she's always acknowledged that she's not like, she was like, I know I can't sing like Mariah, but I bring a lot of emotion to the music, which.
I feel like they were just like, right, she's stunning. She's on television every week. She can dance. Grant, let's go. There, get her a Calvin Harris song quick.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. And it worked, like. She had a follow-up single, I don't know if you know it, to Love Maybe Do It, called Let You.
Love that song.
Actually a great song.
I love that song. Kind of, like, it's like, obviously it's the same kind of buzz as Love Maybe Do It, though. It's just very, like, do you know, like, she's not singing, really.
Yeah.
But, like, Grant.
It's Nicola Roberts co-wrote that.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
So there you go. And that went at, that peaked at number 57. Oh, not great.
I wonder, are they raging at her, though?
Cheryl.
I'd love to know true thoughts.
Because this was the thing, I think at this point she'd been dropped from whatever label she was on, and this was supposed to come out on like a smaller label. She'd been working with Naughty Boy, I heard. Like, she'd said there is a fifth album somewhere. It's just like, we're never, I don't know if we'll ever see it, is the thing. But she had said at the time that the fifth album was like pretty much done. And then I think between Love Maybe Do It kind of flopping and then the next song flopping, they were like, right, bye bye, sorry, it's over, it's done. Yeah, Mare. When asked in 2023 about her future music plans, Cheryl replied, "The industry's completely changed and I don't know if I'd fit in." Which, like, I kind of agree with, and I kind of admire that she recognises that.
She's,
I don't
so
know.
Real.
Could you see her, we've kind of touched on this, but is there any part of you that's like, yeah, she could come back? No.
I don't think she'd be able to come back to, obviously, how, like, no one would be able to come back and be like, boom, centre of attention again. Like, you know, in comparison to all the new people that there is.
But why do you, so do you think,
but also,
like,
I think her being on telly every week, yeah.
Yeah, her being on telly every week as well.
Like, the market's too saturated, first of all. And, like, I feel like she's, like, been there, done that kind of buzz, slash, like, I feel like everything that she had going on, like, was really helping, like, get her, like, really popular. Like, sure, if she's on telly every week, she's done in Grant, sure, everyone's going to eat that up. Whereas now, like, do you know, and I think that's why she flopped.
She does have that same exposure, and it is a very crowded market.
Yeah. I think that's why she flopped when she came back.
Yeah. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I want to read you some things that were written about her at the time in terms of her public image, because we've kind of talked about her being an it girl. I can't believe the things some people wrote that they got away with. But there was a writer in the Telegraph called her, like, again, this is more positive leaning, and to just kind of illustrate how famous she was. The Telegraph's Briony Gordon dubbed her a Princess Diana for the X Factor generation. Which, like, as insane as it is, it's kind of true, isn't it? Like,
that's real.
Bananas. In 2010, The Guardian's Simon Hattinson wrote about the public perception of her. One day she might be the stoic saint coping with marital adversity, or the Mother Teresa of the X Factor, smiling beatifically. That's a hard word to say. As her kids perform for her. The next, she might be the hard-nosed bitch who lip-syncs her way through a live, in quotes, TV performance, while her X-Factor wannabes have to do it for real, and who is happy to advertise L'Oreal shampoo while wearing hair extensions. Scalped, like.
Red.
Red.
Roasted.
Alison Vincent of the Telegraph remarked that Cheryl's career has been pockmarked by tales of demanding behaviour and supercilious attitude. Gordon, however, described her as being self-critical and very polite about everything. Because, like, she was coming out of, we should acknowledge that she was previously charged with assault as well during her Girls Aloud days. So I think also X Factor worked as kind of an image rehab thing to be like, she's so nice. And
was that a really
so
big thing at the time?
Yeah. Again, you're too young. You probably weren't born.
No, but I'm actually, I'm not even being funny. I'm genuinely wondering.
Yeah. But it was just like, I really do think it's a thing of what people wanting to build people up and then being like, okay, bye, enough success. And also just that there's this cyclical thing. I think she got to a certain age where, I don't know how old she was in 2018, probably not fucking that old, but to be seen to be doing the quote unquote sexy performances, there was an underlying misogyny thing of like, you can't be doing this because you are a certain age. You see it leveled at pop stars all the time, like Madonna and everyone else. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
In an ideal world, I know we've said she probably can't come back, but let's say She has it. She's allowed to have a comeback and it's going to be really successful. What would you like to see her do? Or is there anyone you'd like to see her collaborate with?
Oh, you're saying comeback as in like come back and actually make new material?
New material. And yeah, I suppose, is there, like maybe in tandem, is there a TV show that you could see her doing like really well or coming back to doing presenting or anything? Because she was so successful on X Factor. Like she won twice. She won with Alexander Burke and she won with Joe McElderry. Now, Joe McElderry, less said about
not
him.
Really.
Well, sorry, Alexander Burke. Banger first album, which we will definitely talk about on Pop Culture at some point. But, you know, she was very good at it, like, when she was doing it.
See, I'm, like, pure realistic. Like, I would just want her to come back and have, like, not a reunion, obviously. It would just be her, but just do, like, a little tour.
Just,
like, give us the hits, do you know?
I'd go see her in the Olympia now, 100%. Mm. If she did,
the Olympia?
Like, yeah.
That girl wouldn't be in the Olympia.
Okay, but where else is she going to do?
The Aviva. Same dance.
Her last gig was the O2, by the way.
Okay. So pre-Three Arena, yeah. There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Saint Anne's, girl.
So she did two gigs here. I think she did one in Belfast. Like it's, to imagine her now playing the Three Arena. And I don't mean this in a mean way. I really don't. I love to Shez, but like, insane. Mm. Insane.
But like, if Girls Aloud can have a reunion, how come Cheryl can't? Like, do you know
what
I mean?
Again, this comes back to the fact that you're a fetus and I don't think you understand how successful Girls Aloud were. And the fact that they've been away for so long.
But they have the same amount of people, monthly listeners as Cheryl.
Do they?
Yeah. Ish.
I'm right. We're fact checking live right now on air. Cheryl, 1.1 million listeners. Okay. Girls Aloud.
They're like 1.4. I think Cheryl has more. Because it's me.
Because it's you, yeah. 1.4. You're dead right. That is very close. Mm. That is very bloody close. And so we should also say, like, she was the only one who really
had a
very successful solo career. Mm. You know what I mean? Nicola tried, God love her. Nadine tried, God love her.
Just see Nadine to be singing at like Be Perfect events and all in the north. Like she, Annie said, she's like, yeah.
She's like, get me there.
Yeah.
Get me there.
She's dead right though.
I love it though. I love
Nadine.
I love a humble queen. Kimberly did a bit of presenting. I know Sarah, late Sarah, RIP, like she kind of went more into acting and stuff, whatever. Mm. But Cheryl always have that she was like the most successful in terms of music. Like, you look at the numbers, it's insane. You cannot dispute the numbers in terms of how well she did commercially. Four studio albums. The albums include 10 singles, five of which went to number one. Like, bonkers.
Who else would have been like a main pop girl in the UK at the time?
I'm trying to think.
I can't remember. She.
I don't really think so.
That's
going to
be like
say?
She mustn't have, but I love Cheryl. I'm just trying to be real.
UK 2009 number one singles.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga was kind of just starting to peak. You had like Bad Romance, a Poker Face, obviously, Miley Cyrus, The Climb. In terms of the UK, though, not really.
Mm.
In for the Kill, LaRue.
But then again, like, who even is there now? Like, Dua Lipa, but she's from the UK, but she's not really like, do you know what I mean? Like, Cheryl was like based in the UK. Like, you know how some people don't make it to America?
Yeah.
Like, Cheryl didn't really make it to America.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a parallel universe where I think she does have a Dua Lipa-esque career where she had a future nostalgia and, like, crossed over.
Mm.
And I'd want to live in
that. I wonder why,
universe.
Though, that she was never, like... Because if she was so pushed in the UK, I don't know why they wouldn't have brought her over there.
Again, I think if X Factor USA had happened and worked, she would have. But I think it was an issue that... I don't know, were there issues in like screen tests or something, or like with the live, you know, when X Factor used to do the live auditions, that people couldn't understand her because she's so Geordie.
Mm.
I don't know. And then I think
but the American
minute,
X Factor was shit anyway. Like it was so...
American X Factor flopping itself, you know what I mean? But I think it's so telling of... I'm not sure what her relationship is like with Simon Cowell now, but it's very funny to see when Cheryl wasn't translating over in the US that it was just like allegedly dropped like a hot snot where it was like, oh yeah, no, this isn't working. We need to get you the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? I don't know. What could have been?
No, I think they still are friends. I seen when she was on Graham Norton that she was like, oh, it was his birthday last week. She was like, he's 56. 56.
And she went back and I think to judges' houses for one of, because she went back and did X Factor again around the time she was launching A Million Lights, I think. Or no, sorry, Only Human. And had another stint at it again.
Did she?
Yeah. Again, these were flop X Factor series, so it was like, that's why
fair.
It went nowhere, you know what I mean?
But sure, she was on that dance show as well with your man from Glee.
The Greatest Dancer, Matthew Morrison, cursed, oh my God. And that only ran for two seasons.
But sure, I'm not being funny. Like, who is watching a dancing TV show, really? Do you know, like,
donate only people that dancers. Are into. You've offended so many people on this podcast already. You've offended all the old gays of this, and you've offended all the people who like.
But like people that are in, like dancers and like people that are into that, like grand. But like it's kind, it's not niche, but like it is niche.
Well, I will say.
But you're so this like.
It, like true, but I will say that there were already a lot of. We were probably a peak reality TV at that point. Mm. You have Strictly already. Like this is also bear in mind. I feel like people were kind of over talent shows. Like this is 2019, 2020. I just don't think people cared anymore, and also. So, yes, tuning in for Cheryl, whatever, can dance. Matthew Morrison, who cares about that curly-haired man?
Respectfully. So scary.
Yeah, no, she came back to judge series 11 and 12 in 2014 and 2015. But, like, nobody's watching that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Who is in those series? Could you name one person? No, you couldn't.
I feel like I didn't watch The X Factor after Little Mix One.
Fair.
I was like, I've seen enough.
You were done. You were like, we've peaked her.
They're my
we've
girls.
Oh, Shez, what a gal. We've covered a lot, but in summary, Cian, why do you think Archeza flopped ultimately?
I'm blaming the X Factor. I'm blaming Simon, really. Not even the X Factor.
Yeah.
I think if she was still on it, even grand, even if it was a flop, people were still going to watch it anyway, like, you know, to a certain degree. And she would have got more exposure over there. And also, like, or if she just didn't do that and say it on the UK one, I don't think she would have flopped.
As hard.
I think it would have been like not
a
like,
gradual flop boom. As opposed to a off know? The cliff. Yeah.
She was doing that thing, the show, what was it called? On West End. Like random.
Oh, 222 A Ghost Story. Yeah, that was very random. I'd love to know what she was like in that. If you saw her in that, can you please get in touch? Teleflopculture@gmail.com. Genuinely, I'm so curious. Because I remember that casting, everyone was like, what the fuck?
But yeah.
I don't remember hearing anything terrible about it.
No.
So there you go. Maybe acting's in her future.
Mm. Maybe she'd be on Carrie. I'd love if she was on like Carrie or EastEnders or something. That'd be so good.
I don't think she'd do it though, is the thing.
Mm.
I kind of think, you again, when you look at the success and you look at the money she has, I feel like she's like,
I feel like she's just chilling.
Yeah, she's just chilling.
Yeah, fair.
She's going to do the Girls Aloud bits.
Mm. I just want to do her glam.
There you go. Cheryl, if you're listening, I know we were kind of slating you, but all Cain's a really good
if we were slating you, I'd love them.
Yeah.
Do you know?
We're the hardest on you because we believe in you the most, Chase. Yeah. Cian's really good at makeup, Cheryl, if you're listening. He did it for a Flop Culture Live show. It was brilliant. A pleasure. You come back and do Little Mix and we can talk about it.
We have to do Little Mix.
Where can people find you if they want to?
On Instagram.
And what's your name on Instagram?
Or Rialto.
Stop doxing yourself, for God's sake.
But my lease is up in May, girls. So
okay, so it doesn't matter. So any gaffes either?
Oh yeah, for real. Let us know.
Perfect. Cian Macken, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much. It's been so real.
Huge thanks to Cian for joining me. I'll leave all of his links below. Cheryl is just, I mean, I can't even put it into words. I wanted to get back into kind of the discography a little bit more. Some of the things I didn't get to. I mentioned that album, A Million Lights, which obviously featured Call My Name. It was her first record where she was just Cheryl. She was mononymous. Interestingly enough about that, some interesting songwriting credits on that A Million Lights album. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Ever heard of an artist called Lana Del Rey? Yeah, the song called Ghetto Baby, which we mentioned in that episode, written by Lana Del Rey. When they were in the studio at the time, she had gotten some Lana tracks and she thought they were very good. And I think Ghetto Baby was actually meant to be on Born to Die, which is Lana's like first big studio album. Didn't end up transpiring, so Cheryl got it, which is probably why I find it so jarring and weird, to be honest. There is another song called Roses, which I think never saw the light of day, but I'm sure you can find it on the internet. You can also find Lana's version of Ghetto Baby on the internet if you look. And to go back to that comeback single, Love Made Me Do It, did not realise some serious songwriting credits on that. Like Nicola Roberts, obviously mentioned, Nicola Roberts, Natasha Bedingfield, okay? Natasha Bedingfield herself, having her moment with Unwritten once again, and Kylie Minogue. Like, that's a lot of star power in one song for it just not to work, you know? I just do really want to further hammer home, like, again, how the success, absolutely unbelievable. You go back to Promise This upon its release, beat out Rihanna for number one in the UK.
beat out Only Girl in the World. It went to number one the week after, but just hugely successful, especially for Promise. This is a weird little song. You know what I mean? Especially when you come off the back of, and that whole album, Messy Little Raindrops, is very experimental. You know, a lot of stuff doesn't work. And a lot of stuff I actually think is quite interesting, but it's not necessarily. Cheryl was always going to operate best in the straight down the lane, middle ground pop. That's why Fight for This Love continues to be the banger that it is. I think it's 1.2 million copies sold. I'm going to get that actual figure in a second, but like huge numbers. And then you come back with this weird, like, she's speaking French. You know, she's addressing the personal narrative of the divorce, surviving malaria. It's quite a dark record. You know what I mean? So as of 2022, anyway, Promise This now is chart sales totaling 499,000. And 435,000 of these consisted of digital downloads. UK streams, you got 6.3 million. It's probably higher than that now, as I mentioned, because this article is from 2022. Call My Name, the Calvin Harris collaboration. She was back. She had no second name, but girl, she did have a tropical print blazer and a dream. And incredible. I've been seeing a lot of these trends on TikTok where it's like, what songs do you not want at your wedding? And I'm like, if Call My Name by Cheryl isn't played at my wedding, I'm going to be furious. Furious. And again, this was also her being like, this is off the back of being dropped from X Factor USA. The public narrative is starting to turn here. And she came back and said, well, I've got a banger. I've got Calvin Harris on speed dial. He's going to do it for me. She's fucked off at Simon Cowell. She's going on The Voice instead to perform The Voice UK, which was only just kind of really starting. So it kind of had that eyes on it in a way that it kind of doesn't anymore. I'm not going to lie. Did it ever? I'm not sure. But anyway, it was such a kiss off to Simon Cowell, who they'd obviously been working together at the time, but then she was dropped from USA. So she was like, bye-bye, Call My Name, chart sales, wait for this. And this is what I'm saying about how she operates best in this kind of straight pop lane. 646,000 as of 2022. Insane. And I mentioned I'd come back to the Fight for This Love figure. Fight for This Love, 1.3 million chart sales and counting. And again, as I said, it's probably higher because this article is from 2 years ago. Insane. In bloody sane. And you can never take away the fact she is the second British female solo artist with the most number ones after Jessica Lynn. Unbelievable. 5 UK number ones. She's currently beating out all tied for third place. Dua Lipa, Ellie Goulding, Rita Ora, Jerry Halliwell. They all have 4. Say whatever you want about her now, beyond. I just think she is a fascinating case study from a cultural perspective, from a musical perspective. And one thing I forgot to mention in that intro, the X Factor performance, she did a Promise This. She wore these like bondage style tights. They were from Selfridges. They were like £30 a pop at the time. She sold Selfridges out of them. You know what I mean? She was, in a lot of ways, she was like the original influencer, but she did have other, like the music wasn't a side category for her. It was something that she did. And for the most part, she did very well. I know people will go back to the discography. And again, this is not me saying I'm not being fanatical. Not everything hit, that's for sure. But I don't know. Fascinating woman. Fascinating woman, to say the least. That's just my opinion. Do you have a different one? I'd love to hear it. It's at flopculture_pod on social media. helloflopculture@gmail.com. We're on Patreon. I already mentioned it's patreon.com/flopculture. Recent episodes include Bop or Flop, Ariana Grande's Eternal Sunshine. We did a little look back on Love Island All-Stars. Maybe I'll do a little watch of Irish Wish. I haven't fully decided yet, but if I do it, that's where it's going to be. patreon.com/flopculture. Let's thank some of our recent patrons for their patronage. For patronising the arts, as they say. Manzi, hello Manzi, thank you for joining. Hello Megan Mack, thank you for joining. Rachel W, much appreciated that you are here amongst us. And Jane B, big fan of you. Thank you for supporting Flop Culture. You get a minimum of 2 bonus episodes a month, but it's looking, I think we're going to increase that because I'm able to ram out about 3. So maybe we'll say 3. You're getting a minimum 3 bonus episodes a month. We're also on Apple Podcast subscriptions. If you want the audio only, it's on Apple Podcasts. Please do rate and review the show because it helps people find me. I would really appreciate that. It's 5 stars. wherever you rate podcasts. Some of the episodes are available to watch on YouTube. It's Fionnuala J there if you want to watch them, including this one. This one will be there with Cian Macken. If you just want the Cheryl conversation, we will be chatting over there. This has been Flop Culture. It has been edited by Adam Shanahan, who I hugely appreciate. We'll be back next week for another episode all about flops. I'm Fionnuala. Have a great week. Bye-bye.